Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And if you're out there across America, of course, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. But please don't call for the time being, because we really want to talk to our special guest this evening. His name is Zeph Daniel, and he's written a fascinating book called Lamb. And, of course, he had sent me a copy of it. He'd actually called me several years ago, told me he was going to write a book, and I said, well, if you write the book, why, give me a copy. He did. And but I have so many books to read. There's about 20,000 books around here. A lot of them haven't been read. Maybe more than that now. I've sort of lost track. But anyway, of course, he called again, or his wife called. And so we scheduled an interview with him. And then I began to read this fascinating, fascinating book. And I will have to admit, I had a couple of days traveling back and forth across the country from here to Florida and back again, and was on the plane, of course. And once you get into the book, you really can't put it down, because it has a number of parallel plots. And then, of course, as time goes by, they all begin to come together. But the story is so true to life, because it captures what most people do not understand today. And that is the truly spiritual battle in which we're engaged. The influence of the Brotherhood, the secret societies, the Masonic movement, and the multiple other organizations that are there in this eternal battle between good and evil, which is being fought this very day. I mean, many times people will wonder why we're really going to war with Iraq. They'll say, oh, we're going to war with Iraq because it has to do with oil. It has to do with oil. Or we're going to war with Iraq because they want to pursue a new world order. And that certainly is true. There's truth in all of these explanations. They're going to war with Iraq because, of course, this is going to lead to other wars with other Muslim nations there. But I think Richard Mayberry, who writes the early warning newsletter, said it best in the September 2002 issue of his financial newsletter, where he said, after studying the First and Second World Wars and seeing the horror that was taking place and realizing that 1 million people died every month during the last 2 years of the Second World War, and there were repeated opportunities for peace to stop the war, repeated opportunities over that two-year period, and yet the American allied leader and allied leaders refused to stop the war. He said he'd come to the conclusion that there was a thing that really wanted horror and death and destruction. And, of course, he was sure that that thing was real. Of course, he never told us what the thing was, but he recognized there was something there, and he capitalized the T in thing. And I think that, of course, there is a force. I think that's in large part, what Iraq is all about in the coming conflicts, the death and destruction and horror that are going to come about because, of course, of this eternal battle. And you, Zeph, you do a wonderful job of certainly bringing out the fact that there is evil in the world. And you read this book, and then, of course, evil is not sufficient. There has to be something on the other side. And then you bring about the goodness of our Lord. How did you happen to write the book?
Dan, it was, I think it was almost an involuntary process in that I went through a tremendous conversion to the Lord Jesus, where I had finally given up. I was finally broken. I finally had no other option. And around about that time of, you know, the Holy Spirit is talking to me, and this is a whole new experience, and I'm not really on sure footing. And he tells me, I want you to write this book.
Well, now, had you ever written a book before?
I had, you know, written a couple of books that weren't published for personal reasons. I wrote the book, and I realized it was more of a personal catharsis, and I didn't want to publish anything like that. And so I went through kind of a first novelitis several years ago. But at the time when I wrote this, I was convinced, I had written screenplays and horror movies and things in Hollywood, and that's my writing experience. I had also written poetry, personal poetry, as many writers have. But at the time I thought, well, the novel is such a tedious long form, and who's going to want to read, you know? I didn't think I could really last through the process. And I thought it was crazy. I thought, I didn't even really understand what the plot was about when I sat down to write. And I kind of had to show up every day to get the plot and write a few more pages. And pretty soon the thing started taking on a life of its own. And I started realizing that a lot of what was being written were things in my own experience, but it was being focused in such a way to tell this story of, as you said, the battle between good and evil, and how our sovereign Lord is the answer to all of the depravity and insanity that we see today.
But of course, the depravity and the insanity you describe is real. I mean, anybody has only to turn on our television, MTV, to watch so many of the programs that are there to realize the insanity infiltrates every aspect of our life, and now we see ourselves going into wars and more wars. We are entering into a terrible, terrible time for America because, of course, the American people have turned their back on God. But how did you happen to come to have a personal relationship with the Lord? How did you happen to be broken and to a point where you were willing to turn your life over to Him?
Well, I just recall that moment it happened. I had pretty much failed out of Hollywood, and I had done I had directed a film that failed, and I had no other option. I was out of friends, out of substances that I could abuse myself with. Sort of, I was out of every possible option, and I was even beyond the idea of suicide. I was beyond that. That made no sense. That just seemed stupid at this point.
Well, you write really beautifully. I mean, you have flow. The characters are real. Each story tract is real. And of course, you wonder how, these story tracts, and there are about six or seven or maybe eight of them, all these various tracts, and they're all going to eventually come together as the story unfolds.
And God wins.
And God wins in the end, of course. But, in the process, of course, you bring out a great deal about really what's going on, about the fact that there really are secret societies, that these societies have control and influence at the highest levels of our government. And they really do. I mean, we know that the CIA has these special institutes where they do these macabre experiments on human beings, and we only have to read the various materials that have come out about their experiments on the people in the hospitals in Canada, the MK Ultra experiments that were carried out on unsuspecting people here in the United States, to recognize the fact that this is not imaginary. There really is a force of evil that grips the very heart and soul of this once great Christian nation.
Yes, and having seen it, in my own personal life, seeing the powerful it's very interesting because corruption goes hand in hand with elitism. You almost have to become more corrupt to get more power. And that's the inverse of what we would say is a normal life. And in Satanism, which is pretty much the world system at this point, in Satanism, you go up or you get more power and money to the extent that you become more depraved and are able to make it work for you. I guess another definition that I've come to know is you get enjoyment out of making other people suffer, just on a real base level. And that is, once you get on to almost feeding off that evil, off that energy, you become addicted to it. You're given over to it. then you serve the other side night and day because you want money, you want power. And I've seen these people, they've risen up and fallen. Most of them are lead miserable lives, but something keeps driving them. I think it's demonic influence. I think a lot of these people are indwelled or completely demonically possessed. And because it almost defies, you have to defy or defile your conscience, first of all, to even be able to walk down that path. And I would look at friends I had, and very powerful friends that I had, and I've separated from all of them now. I had to, because they just, they would feed, they're almost like vampires. They feed on anything and anyone that is weaker than them. And they don't really get to go up the ladder unless someone else is going down the ladder, you know? And that's just it on a basic level. Then when you start getting into the groups and these various circles of society, whether it be the, secret societies that we have, where you have to be tapped and initiated, whether it be Skull and Bones, this or that brotherhood, all those, now you have a bunch of people feeding generationally on power. And some of these people do compete with each other, but basically it's being run by Lucifer, and it's all it's orchestrated. Most of these people are compartmentalized. They really, they do their part, but perhaps they don't see the big picture. And then a lot of these people want to rule the world, which Lucifer or their society or whatever promises them a shot at ruling the world, but really they're just enslaved. They're not rulers at all, but slaves to this evil, to this power that is, if you don't have the Lord, this power is more powerful than a human being just walking around. You can't walk around on this earth without serving one side or the other, really.
Well, of course, you get in, of course, to the satanic rituals and satanic ceremonies. Actually, before I read your book, I'd read a book by a gentleman I know, David Carrico. We've had him as a guest many times, and his book is on Satanism, Masonry, and the Egyptian Connection, and showing how they all really work together. And then, of course, describing in great detail the satanic ritual ceremonies and sacrifices that, of course, have been described by people who come out of that, and over the fact they actually kill people in satanic ceremonies. And you describe some of this in your book almost as if, this is not an uncommon thing. And I suspect it's not uncommon at all. Covered over by the police, and of course, they know how to get rid of the bodies. I'll never forget hearing Antoine LaVey's daughter on a television program with Bob Larson, as I remember. And she said, why, of course, if you think we're killing all these people, I mean, where are the bodies? Where are the bodies? Well, the people just sort of disappear, and they never find the bodies. But the Satanists know how to get rid of them. How did you, in your book, you describe how they get rid of them? But nobody has ever mentioned that before.
No, there's lots of sacrifices, lots of levels of this. I mean, you have circles within circles within circles within circles all the way to the center would be Lucifer himself. And you got to realize that a lot of the agencies now and a lot of the businesses have been taken over in this late time, and that's why I actually believe we're in a time of judgment, because the cup of iniquity is full. And so, the police will get rid of the body, the morgue will get rid of the body, the intelligence agencies, whatever's around, it's just old hat. And if you're tapped to be in one of these things and you decide not to participate, that's another good way to get yourself killed. This thing is like a whirling vortex or like a tornado that just sucks everything into the funnel. And those, if you try to resist on your own, like I said, you could very easily wind up dead. And the reason is because you become a party to the corruption. In other words, criminality runs all this. All these people are criminals. They're all accomplices to murders and all kinds of things like that. So if you see something like that, if you were, tapped or brought around where you see corruption and you see people like world leaders, cross-dressing or something, being perverted or something like that, even something like that can get you killed. If you decide, well, I don't want any part of that, I think I'll just mosey on down the road. And they'll say, no, you won't. We'll come get you.
And the thing is that these things actually do happen. We saw here, it was just a few months ago, where just about the time of the anthrax attack, when 10 or 12 of the world's leading scientists suddenly all died, and many of them under very mysterious circumstances. People said, well, that must have just been coincidence. No, they actually have professional killers. I've talked to one of them who was hired by the CIA to kill a writer who'd written a book that was critical of George Herbert Walker Bush and Bill Clinton. The book was compromised. The author was Terry Reid. The assassin was a man named L.D. Brown, and his stories in a book written by Ambrose Evans Pritchard on the, I think it was The Secret Life of Bill Clinton. And I've talked to L.D. Brown. He, for one reason or another, doesn't want to give any more interviews, although he's given them in the past, telling about how he was hired by the CIA to kill people. This goes on, ladies and gentlemen, in the world today. But, of course, the average individual is incapable of accepting that because we live in a television world. We don't live in the real world that exists. Our reality is on the screen of the television, not in the world which we encounter every day.
Well, they buy that, you know, they're fed programming and they buy the program, and in a sense, they don't want to know. I have family members that just they don't want to read my book. You know?
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't, because I will tell you, you the very very first page of the book, the first paragraph of the book grabs you. And from that point of view, you have a hard time putting it down. And really, I will have to admit that, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was read a novel. But I really felt I almost obliged, especially after the letter you'd written to me telling how you listened to our program and some of your personal experiences. But after I'd read the first paragraph, the die was cast. I had to read the whole thing. And for our listeners out there, the book The Lamb is a fascinating commentary on the world as it's unfolding today, and written from a biblical point of view, and certainly from the point of view that we are a nation under judgment. Now, am I saying these are the very last days? I don't know when the last days are coming. I believe that the Lord is going to come soon, whether it will be a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. I believe that certainly the way we're going, America will be destroyed as a nation before the Lord comes, unless there is revival here. And so far, I've seen very little evidence of revival, although there is a growing remnant, which is certainly encouraging to me. But our job is to do our best and recognize that in the final analysis, the battle is the Lord's.
There's a lot of work to do and too few hands to do it, it seems. But at the same time, it's one soul at a time, and the Lord, it will deliver all who are His. We're assured of that from the Bible. And I believe that's true. None of this actually made sense to me until I was sold out to Jesus, and I surrendered, and I began to serve Him, and He began to teach me through the Holy Spirit about what kind of world I was born into. And then I could see. But I could not see any of this, couldn't see the forest for the trees, until I had Jesus, until I served Him. And at that point, I began to learn. My eyes began to be open. The veil was pulled off, but until that time I could not see it. And so you could say in 1998 you could have told me about all this stuff, and I would have said, yeah, well, that sounds like conspiracy theory, maybe, maybe not. Now I see very clearly what's going on. It's a spiritual battle for our souls, and you know, all the television is to distract you so that, you know, you don't know that you've sold out. A lot of people have sold out. They don't even know it. And they need the Lord. They don't even know it.
I'm sure that is absolutely true. And the problem is today that when you tell people about this spiritual battle their eyes glaze over, when you tell them that we're going into war to kill a lot of people, so there'll be horror and suffering and children will die and families will die, and there'll be disease and pestilence, and they look at you and they say, well, no, you know, they don't even want to think about that. They want to think the war is over there. It's not going to affect them. And, you know, my fear is that the war is going to have a profound impact right here in the United States. And maybe, of course, that's going to be God's way to awaken people to what's really going on. I believe that although I don't want to see us going into war, I object to this in every inch of resistance I have, with every fiber of my body. I recognize that it's going to happen, and I don't see any way we're going to avoid it with the commitment that has been made in troops. I talked to a friend of mine who has connections to the highest levels of the military, and he told me that certainly the military say we've got far too much military over there. In other words, just for Iraq, we don't need as much as we're going to have. In all probability, we're preparing for other things as well as Iraq. And I was reading today that, the military is now putting together a 20 to 30 year plan for wars. 20 to 30 year plan for wars. We may never again live in a nation at peace as we live today.
And Dr. Stan, we had made a prediction on the website, which is also a prophecy website, that far more troops than would be necessary to win this war with Iraq would be shipped over there. And lo and behold, this has happened. And I think what it means, a couple of things. One, there's a script being followed, obviously.
Absolutely.
No matter what people seem to say, do, or think, or how many protests there are, this thing marches along like a juggernaut, and they keep saying it's another 50,000 troops, another 75,000 troops, another four battleship carrier groups. It's unbelievable, and then some people are beginning to say, and I'm not sure exactly where I am in this yet, but that as soon as the troops are being sent over there to be ambushed, for one thing, if we ever get into a conflict with Russia over, say, this war in Iraq over the oil, all our people would be there as sitting ducks. Or, two, they would be there for a regional occupation of the entire Middle East, to redraw all the maps, take all the oil, and just be bully thug conquerors while we all sit back and watch on television. Then they could unleash the thing they really want to do, which is unleash the martial law and lock down this country, destroy the dollar, destroy the economy, then put us all into kind of a police state slave mentality. And at that point, you have global domination.
Now, of course, the thing that I'm concerned about is that the American people aren't going to accept that readily, unless, of course, there is a biological or chemical attack here. And I think that this is exactly what's planned.
I really believe
this because of the article in the recent Foreign Affairs magazine. And Foreign Affairs is written not for common folks like you and I. It's written for the elite who rule the world. And, of course, the origin of Foreign Affairs magazine is the Council on Foreign Relations, an outgrowth of a secret occult society created by Cecil Rhodes and, of course, the members of the Society for Psychical Research and Theosophists. And there was really sort of a conglomeration of all the occult and satanic organizations of a century ago, all manifested in the CFR, which came to America in 1921 and is, for all intents and purposes, the invisible government of the United States. So, I mean, when you read the articles and their publications, not all of them are significant, but I thought the recent article by Richard K. Betts, B-E-T-T-S, in the January-February 2003 issue of Foreign Affairs, talking about the fact that we are forcing Saddam Hussein to attack us with biological weapons, and we're not making any preparations for the American people. I'm not even saying that Saddam is going to be behind the attack, but I think there may well be an attack on America, which will be used then to bring about exactly the things you're talking about. And of course, in your book, you talk about the catastrophic events that occur, and of course, this how this is used by government to control the people.
And then they'll lose control because, of course, there's fighting at the top levels and certain circles fighting against other circles in this nightmare scenario that we're launching into. And by the way, about Foreign Affairs, something if people want to look at something that's very interesting, go rent the movie Doctor Strangelove again, and you'll see that in the centerfold there's a centerfold, and covering the nakedness of this woman is a copy of Foreign Affairs.
Is it really?
You have to look very carefully. It's in the very beginning, and I believe it's a cover of what would be, say, a Playboy magazine. And this is the woman that's actually having an affair with the George C. Scott character. And in that magazine, she's covered with a copy of Foreign Affairs. And it's the most amazing thing that Stanley Kubrick, back in 1962, he suggested in that shot. Maybe he couldn't broadcast it, which he did finally in the movie Eyes Wide Shut, where he finally said, okay, here's the satanic circle right here at the end of this movie. Here they are in their little masks and all their, you know, their pomp and circumstance and ritual, doing the most abominable things and enjoying it.
Sure.
I mean, you got to realize these people enjoy when they kill. They like it. And I know that's hard for people to believe. And I've struggled for many years to understand this because, unfortunately, I had the, you know, misfortune of being around people that would thrive off the pain and suffering of others. And, you know, people would get killed and I think murdered, and they would just go, oh, I feel so sorry for his family, or, you know, and it was all fake. You know, it was really, they're just saying not only good riddance, but we enjoyed that, playing that game. We enjoyed driving that person to suicide. We enjoyed destroying that person's life. And you see when they sick, you know, on the public stage, when they sick the press on somebody, you know, it's vicious out there in this satanic world, and right now you're seeing the satanic come to the surface, and you know, most people are scared to death. They don't want to see it, so the ostriches, they stick their heads in the sand even further. But that's not going to help. There's no place to run and no place to hide from this. It's coming to the shores of America. As soon as this war starts, it's going to be like dominoes. It's going to be this, then this, then this. The script is going to be, it probably has a, you know, 150 points on there. They're going to follow just right to the letter.
And I think that's really so interesting. You talk about the script. I believe this whole thing is scripted as well. It's certainly, there are so many things that would point in that direction, you know, because nothing that's happening really makes sense. But we know that this war was planned long before the September 11th attack. We have, you know, material that came out from WorldNet Daily, Newsmax, you know, talking about how the war was planned in 1999. Wolfowitz
Incredible.
And the others were talking about this, and a recent article in the L.A. Times, just 5 days after the September 11th attack, by the Bush administration gave orders to the Pentagon to plan for the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq.
And take control of the poppy fields, because they're dealing in weapons of mass destruction, they're dealing in drugs, they're dealing in slaves, and slave meaning, you know, young children in many cases, sold off to brothels. It is, you know, it's unbelievable how overt, this is getting more, it's getting more and more dangerous to be a human being in this world.
And, of course, I mean, here we finance the Taliban, and the Taliban right. go ahead and shut down the drug trade, and so then we kill the Taliban that we'd been fighting and use the Northern Alliance, and now they can open up the drug fields again. And, of course, the CIA, one of the major purveyors of heroin and cocaine in the world, and they are the major purveyor of this. And if you doubt that, you need to read the book Drugging America or Defrauding America by Rodney Stitz, where he simply quotes the people who were involved in this working for the CIA. Terry Reid's book, which almost cost him his life, Compromised, where Terry Reid, we don't have the, I don't think we still carry the book, but, you know, there's no question at all that the CIA has been involved in drug smuggling. And the CIA works, you know, within this this invisible government at the highest echelons. Doesn't matter whether the Republicans or the Democrats are in power. These people are there. They have an agenda. And, of course, their agenda is the New World Order and the New World Religion. And there is a dark side within this, truly a satanic side, which most people do not understand. And yet it's real. It's not imaginary. And we're going to be back in just a moment with our special guest, Zeph Daniels. If any of you like to, give us a call. His book is The Lamb. You'll want to read it. It'll give you a fascinating insight. He's covered so many of the significant things we cover right here on Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will decide you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as, well, 5 hours every day on radio with the Internet, and 3 hours every day on satellite, and 2 hours every day on shortwave during the week. Why, of course, we try to bring people the truth about what's going on, and then our weekend program that goes to about 35 different radio stations, and then we're doing another program here in the Central Coast. I'll be doing the program on KSCO this Saturday when Tom Quinn is away, and that's at noon on 1080 on your dial if you're in the Monterey Bay area. And we, of course, will have a fascinating program. And we want you, of course, to get the information and help us to let people understand what lies ahead as we try to prepare them for what I believe will be a biological attack, or at least some sort of a major attack on America to disrupt the nation, so that people will turn to the government, of course, looking for security. And, of course, with the effort to have the government restore security, will come the loss of freedom as we know it in this country. So if you'd like to become part of our team and help us reach out across America, and we are a voice, we just need to have a much louder voice. We need to reach other people. And, of course, that's why we do many stations today that, you know, where they're not used to listen to this sort of programming that we do. They're not used to hearing about the spiritual battle that's taking place between good and evil, and the involvement of the secret societies. And I'm talking about the inner core of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, and the inner core of Masonry and Rosicrucianism and the Theosophists and the Hierarchy and all of the various organizations we talk about in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness. If you haven't read that book, you really need to. And, of course, if you want to find out more, why, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5 HIV war. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will decide you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family. And if you'd like to join, or if you'd like to just get a free copy of our newsletter, our December newsletter deals with the occult foundation of our monetary system, a monetary system which is today on the very, very verge of collapse. And that's, of course, why the government is printing up the new money, because, of course, they are going to have to do something to maintain some sort of stability. I'm firmly convinced that they're very, very worried. Right now, we're totally dependent on China and Japan for the stability of the American dollar. And if they pull their money out of this country, couldn't you imagine how happy the Chinese communists would be to pull their countless $1 billion out of American bonds and see our whole cascading destruction of our economic system? Why would we ever put ourselves into a position where we'd be dependent on our enemies to maintain us in power? Well, we're in real trouble, but you must understand the occult foundation of our monetary system, and you can only do that by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for a free copy of the December newsletter. If you haven't had one before, we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. And we hope that you'll want to join us in this truly epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation conceived under God can long endure, whether the people really have the moral integrity to do what they should do, whether enough people who believe in the Lord enough to be willing to make the sacrifices and stand tall when the world tells them that they're wrong. Well, we'll be back in just a moment with our special guest this evening, Zeph Daniels. And, of course, if you'd like to give us a call, our number 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is at war today.
Wow.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this evening, Jeff Daniel, and he's written a fascinating, fascinating book. It's called The Lamb, and I had the pleasure of reading it this last few days, and I'll tell you, it's a gripping novel, but it's much more than a novel because it's got so much truth in it. It's built upon the truth of what's really going on today. And, of course, he uses the dramatic background of the story to tell you so much of what it truly is transpiring. Zeph, how can people get hold of your book? Is there an 800 number they can go to?
Well, they can go to the publisher has told me to use this 800 number, which is 24/7. It's 1-800-431-1579. That's 1-800-431-1579. 1579. It's also available on all the bookstore, online bookstores, Amazon and Barnes and Noble, Borders, and so on. And some, I guess it's also listed in some metaphysical bookstores, which I don't know how that happened.
Well, that's all right. As long as they'll sell it, maybe your story will touch the hearts of some of these people. That's all we can hope for, because, you know, something has to touch them.
Well, we've had some success with young people caught up in, you know, going for fame and fortune and all that, and fortunately this book kind of arrested them early. I have had some really wonderful testimonies from people that thought they were atheists and people that didn't know really where they stood, and they read the book and then they committed to the Lord and they had an experience, a conversion experience while reading the book. You know, it's pretty good that way. It's a good one pastor that I know out in Los Angeles. He said that it was a, as far as he was concerned. In fact, I based one of the characters on him, the man that was in charge of the homeless shelter, and he becomes a pretty big character and not really a believer in prophecy and angels and things like, you know, the supernatural of things of God. But then, of course, he experiences it as Los Angeles comes under a under judgment, and he starts seeing actual angels and sees people prophesying things that are happening, and he's convinced, and it takes him to a deeper level. This man that I based the character on, he told me that the book, he really liked the book and said it was a deliverance piece, and that it will help deliver people if they're undecided. You know, it's a good book for people who are Christian, certainly. It's like preaching to the choir. But if they're not, this is a good book for them.
Well, I think one of the problems we have is we have an awful lot of people who think they're Christians, but really are not. In other words, they like to go to church, and they like to feel that they really believe in Jesus Christ, but, you know, they haven't really given themselves over. You might call them the carnal Christians. They're people who say the right things and do the right things, but life has not been transformed.
It's very true, and a lot of these people are just there is almost like a conforming mechanism for society.
But, of course, your book really will touch people's hearts. It really, you know, there are many places that you read it, and you're almost overwhelmed with tears. It is an emotional experience to read this book and see as this whole incredible story comes together. And really what a talent it is to be able to write something like that and, you know, have all of these little pieces of the puzzle at the very end fall into place.
It was amazing to me. You know how when you're creating anything, you don't know how it's going to go while you're doing it. By the way, I just want to say something that your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and some of your videos, that I bought a whole bunch of stuff from you early on. And boy, did that help get rid of a lot of the evil friends I had. Because I would put your videos on, and man, they just fled. They bolted out of my house. And I said, "What are you talking about? This is Dr. Stan has the truth here." And you know who really hated it?
Who did?
We were going to a church at the time, and I showed some of this stuff to the pastor, and they hated it. And I'm like, you know, and they're trying to get me to be quiet, and I'm writing. When they, I actually gave the manuscript to the pastor, and that he turns ghost pale, and pretty much shows me the door. After reading the book, I was pretty much kicked out of the church. Why? And he goes, "Look, you just can't talk about this stuff around, like this kind of stuff around here."
Well, you know, it's really very interesting. Of course, you know Jane and Ted Whiting, who've been on our program many times.
Know them.
And, of course, they're wonderful people. They are, for our listeners out there who don't know Jane and Ted, they have a deliverance ministry. And, of course, Jane herself was came from a satanic family, and she was ritually abused from the time that she was 3 years of age.
But they don't, Dr. Stan, they don't call it abuse, though. Only someone who is like has a heart for the Lord that belongs to the Lord would call it abuse. A normal person would call it abuse. They don't think it's abuse.
Right, but you know, the interesting thing is they were asked to leave a church that they were in simply because they could not tolerate this thrust, the effort to bring out the truth about what's really going on in the world today. So many of our churches today want the warm fuzzies. Oh, we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to upset anybody. We don't want to talk about anything really significant or important, and certainly relay the evil that is taking place to what's going on in America today, in our political system, in our schools, in our motion pictures, in our television, and our entertainment fields. Let's just talk about things that just make you feel good, and but don't ever wake people up. And of course, this is why we're in the trouble we are today. And of course, one of the characters in your story was a minister named Ted. And of course, he knew he didn't really believe in the Lord, but you know, being a minister was a good job, and that's what he went ahead and did. And we've got somebody on the line here. Who's calling in?
It's Earl.
Who is it?
Earl.
Okay, Earl, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. I was listening to you.
Where about you calling from, Earl?
Atlanta.
Okay, go ahead.
I was listening to your guest, and it sounded like he had a very interesting book, and I'm certainly going to look in and purchase it. But he just touched on a subject there about, he was talking about his pastor and fellow Christians having a problem with some of the things he believes and some of the things you talk about, Dr. Stan.
Right.
And I've run into that problem. I've tried to have several of my friends. Some of them are Masons now, but a lot of them are Christians. And some of them profess to be both.
No, it's pretty. It's sort of like having hot and cold at the same time. Hot ice, you might say.
Right, and see now they begin it because I enjoy listening to you and so forth. They all kind of think I'm, believe it or not, some kind of left wing extremist. You see,
that's a new one.
Yeah, that's right. So, me being from Georgia, you see, we have a lot of Masons and a lot of Christians as part of the country. And after 8 years of Bill Clinton, when President Bush, who professes to be a Christian, was elected president, you know, they were very optimistic and very happy and supported him. And then when I have them listen to some of the recordings, and then we saying he's in charge of some kind of plot, you know, he's being used, he's been duped, and all this, it's just, I don't know, they just kind of got, like you say, you lose a lot of friends here quickly, because they think you're on the strange side of something, you know, they like to listen to people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Neil Bortz, these kind of right-wing more, type, and I guess what I'm trying to find out here is how can I present this stuff a little better than what I'm doing, because even the Christians I'm involved with that I know love the Lord, they just don't seem to want to get involved in any kind of political thing other than, you know, what they believe to be.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to just ask you to hang on there. I'm going to have to pick up the other line here. We got somebody else calling in. And you just, I'm going to put you on hold for a minute, pick up the other one. Hi, who do we have?
This is Ron from Richmond, Washington.
All right, Ron.
You mustn't have a call screener tonight.
I don't have a call screener tonight.
Oh,
so you just hang on there. You just hang on there, unless you want to run on down and help. But right, you just hang on. We'll get back to you in just a minute, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, fine. So let's get back to... I hope I don't lose you here.
Let me make a comment to the caller.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, the thing is some people haven't suffered enough yet. And I don't want to talk about these judgments coming as necessarily a great thing. It's not good. Human suffering is a terrible thing, okay? But When people suffer more, they're going to want to know from a man who's upright with God what's going on. Yeah. They're going to ask you questions. They're going to say, well, what about Dr. Monteith? What about that tape that you had? They'll ask about these things when, I hate to say this, but it's when things get worse.
Right.
They're going to have to get worse before they stop listening to the programmers who tell them, here's your movie, here's your reality, just follow the bouncing ball and you'll be okay.
And I really think that there is a spiritual blindness out there, and it is being fomented by the church and by the warm, fuzzy form of Christianity that is being taught today by the Gospel of Romans 13, which is used to neutralize the Christians. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I believe he's allowing these things to happen, and I think he weeps because his people are not doing anything. So all you can do is keep nice talking to them. If you can get them to watch a video, or you can get them to listen to a tape, or just ask them questions. Is there perhaps some other reason why we're going into Iraq? And I think that if we do, and I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but if there is a major cataclysmic event here in this country, and they begin to impose the martial law and dictatorship in America, why, they'll begin to listen to what you've said. And one of the best things we have right now, they've sort of given this to us, is this DARPA symbol. And if you haven't seen it, it's the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye looking out over the world, with a caption underneath in Latin, knowledge is power. And
right,
of course, up
face.
Above that, DARPA. And then basically, this is a satanic symbol. They put it on the DARPA webpage. That's Admiral Poindexter's military Pentagon program, where they're going to begin to collect the dossiers on all of us. And I would simply ask people, why would they take that satanic symbol off the back of the dollar bill and put it on the DARPA webpage? And of course, most people have never even thought of it being satanic. And, of course, the Masons are going to say, well, that's our symbol. Well, of course, the truth of the matter is that's been around for 5,000 years or 6,000 years. That is a symbol of the ancient secret societies. And, of course, you can always talk to them about the video of the man who would be king with Sean Connery, and they'll actually see the whole movie centers around the pyramid with the glorified eye on it, a symbol of the ancient secret societies. And maybe you can raise a question in their mind. Don't be discouraged if they don't listen to you. Just ask them some questions and be friends with them, because one day they may have to turn to you for answers.
They're going to have to find people that they're not going to go back to their churches for answers at that point. They won't go to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, who, in my opinion, should use their talents for the truth rather than just this sort of namby-pamby program they're told that the corporation tells them to say. And part of it has to do with opening of the eyes, though. Like I said, with me, I had to have the Holy Spirit on me, and then writing this book opened my eyes just to my own memories and to looking around in my own life at, you know, the secret societies, the things that they do, the murders, the corruption. And then you go up the line and you see the president and the Skull and Bones. You read your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and then pretty soon it all starts falling into place and you go, oh boy, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore. What kind of a world was I born into?
Right, right.
I can't believe it. And it sometimes it's a real burden, and you just feel like, I'd like to just get in bed and pull the covers up over my head and wake up tomorrow morning in a nice coat, in a nice reality that I, used to believe. I go turn on the football game or whatever. But, it's just gotten lately, especially the last few weeks, has just become, to me, it just looks like all the news articles around the world are just publishing what they're going to do. I mean, they're blatantly telling us what they're going to do. You can tell people things that are in the mainstream news. I've showed them articles, and they say, well, I don't believe that. Here's this, the Patriot Act just passed, and that means this, this, and this. Well, I don't believe that.
No, well, they don't want to believe it. Look, do you have anything else you wanted to say there before we let you go?
Well, let me tell you, the most depressing thing I've seen lately today was on WorldNet Daily. I don't know if anybody saw that, but they had some pictures of aborted fetuses. Well, they weren't fetuses. They were 26 and 28-year-old babies, a month-old
babies, weeks-old babies, right.
Yeah, Yeah, and I mean, that was the most depressing thing I've ever seen. If that was done to a dog, there'd be millions of people marching in the streets right now. Yet we're doing that to children. This society is doing that to children every
day.
That's
a satanic rite of human sacrifice.
It really is. In fact, you'll find that there are witches, actually, who work in some of the abortion mills for that specific purpose. And I've actually talked to a woman who came out of it, a lesbian who actually came out of it and, of course, turned her life around. And, you know, but she talked about the witches' coven meetings in the abortion mills that she used to work in. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Don't get discouraged, you know, and keep listening and... God bless you.
God bless y'all.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. And we've got Ron calling from Washington. Hi, Ron. Do you have a question?
Well, yes. I would have to say I agree with most of what you're saying as far as how decadent our society, and I think our decadence has helped to raise up adversaries. I don't think some of this radical Islamic talk would go very far if we weren't so depraved in our culture.
Well, I think that you have to understand that we created this whole Islamic movement when, of course, we began financing the Mujahideen before the Soviet invasion to promote the Soviet invasion. And when we got these poor Muslims there from all around the world, we began to indoctrinate them in this radical form of Islam. And you go to my website, and we actually give you the reference to the article in the Washington Post talking about how we spent $56 million on textbooks pushing this whole radical form of Islam, dying for Allah, killing the infidels, the whole ball of wax that now we're so critical because these people have embraced. We created the best enemy money could buy.
By the way, I'm sure you've heard of David Wilkerson in Times Square Church.
Right.
Well, his take on our upcoming confrontation with Iraq, I think it's almost inevitable, the fact that he thinks it's God's hand to save Israel, that if we didn't take him out, that Saddam Hussein, maybe in a dying gasp, would obliterate Israel if he could.
Well, of course,
he's Nebuchadnezzar reincarnated.
All right, let me give you my thought on that, and then we'll get Zeph's thought. But, you know, I know that there are many people who feel that this is God's hand to protect Israel. This may be God's hand to bring terrible destruction to Israel, because it'll be a lot easier for Saddam Hussein to attack Israel in a dying grasp than to attack America. And I believe, and I really do believe this, that if we attack Saddam Hussein now, he is going to launch the weapons of mass destruction, which I'm sure he has hidden away someplace on Israel. So we are on the verge of cataclysmic times. But time alone is going to tell. Certainly, David Wilkerson is one of the people I really respect a great deal, but I have a little different take on that than he does. Zeph, what are your thoughts?
Well, same thing. I know of David Wilkerson, and I affirm a lot of the things that he's saying, but I look at sort of a larger view, and that is that this regional conflict is not a regional conflict, but a coming global conflict between China and Russia against the U.S. I sort of take the Joel Skousen point of view there, that we are attempting to induce attacks, massive attacks, nuclear attacks, certainly biologicals, as soon as we go into Iraq, with overwhelming force, with enough force to not just take out Iraq, but I guess everybody else. And that is going to induce a tremendous amount of hostility. We already, right now, 80% of the world is against us in this. And yet, the thing keeps going, apparently ignoring France today saying they will veto any action in the U.N., and then Bush saying, well, we don't need the U.N., we're going to do it anyway, and Russia, you know, disapproving of it. And so it just looks to me that we are being the bully thug. I mean, not us. We don't want to be this. Most of us don't want the policies that are being set forth go forward. But they are going forward.
I would have to say I kind of disagree with you, sir.
Okay, that's fine. Well, what are your thoughts? We'll get your thoughts, Ron, and then we'll let you go. But are your thoughts?
I had heard that some Iraqi scientists who had... In fact, it said that Saddam Hussein was just a few months away from creating a nuclear bomb.
Now, where is that written up?
I couldn't give it.
Okay, fine. Well, if you ever come up with that, please get that for us. And then, of course, can we verify this? I'll tell you what, Saddam Hussein was working on the bomb in the early 80s. And of course, the Israelis went ahead and knocked it out. And of course, we condemn them for doing that. I'm just glad they did. In fact, I think if we got out of there and let the Israelis do the job right, we wouldn't have to send our boys over there to fight and die. But that's not what this is all about.
Well,
this is
Dr.
to involve
Stan,
us in the Middle West, in the Middle East.
The war genie is out of the bottle, okay?
Right.
And who knows where it's going to wind up. But I see the pain and suffering of the Iraqi children. I see pain and suffering of many around the world. I see wars and famines and sickness all over the globe.
I see the four horsemen of the apocalypse descending. I can hear
horrible.
The hoofbeats right now, and I think we're going to see them before long.
I'm no seer. I can't say whether that's going to be the case or not, but I would say if we're going to go in and fight, let's use overwhelming force. Let's get over with as quickly as we can.
Yeah, let's. Well, if
and it be as kind and as humane to the Iraqi people as possible, and hopefully they can set up a government that will look after the human rights of their citizenry rather than be an absolute megalomaniacal despot like Saddam Hussein.
Could I suggest you get a book? It's called, we don't carry the book, it's called See No Evil by Robert Baer. He was the Iraqi, he was the CIA station chief in Kurdistan in 1995. If you read that book, you'll find out we have kept Saddam Hussein in power for just a time like this. Nothing as it appears to be. I wish it was going to be so simple as just having a quick war. Believe me, as General Sherman said, war is hell, and an awful lot of men and women, children are going to die. And I don't think they're just going to die in Iraq. I hope and pray that I'm wrong. But if you've ever read David Wilkerson's prophecies of seeing New York in flames, read George Washington's prophecies, read much of the other material of Dmytro Dudman's prophecies of what's going to come to America.
Or Jonathan Hansen, some of his his says the same thing. And you know, I know eventually it's going to be like that.
I think it is. Well, look, Ron, thank you. Do you have any parting thought? We're going to have to let you go.
One other thing, that book, Our Nation Betrayed, by Garland Favorito,
mm-hmm.
It has the last chapter is on the Infinite War.
All right.
That just, and it says the scenario is exactly what you hypothesized.
Well, all we can do is just...
And I hope it's not, but who knows?
Well, all we can do is pray for peace and pray for God's courage and protection in the times that lie ahead, at least for his people.
God bless, Sam. Thank you so much for being on the air.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, we're just about out of time. Again, Zeph, let's get that telephone number out again so people can pick up the book. The book is titled Lamb, and this is Zeph Daniel. I will tell you that it's one of the most gripping books you've ever read, and I say that not lightly. Fascinating. You read the first page, you can't put it down. And, of course, within this book is so much truth. Let's get that 800 number out again.
Okay, it's 800-431-1579. That's 800-431-1579. And that's the 24-hour order line of Elderberry Press, the publisher.
All right, God bless you.
Thank you,
sir, very, very much for being with us tonight. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure, Dr. Sam. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
God bless you, too.
Yeah. Okay, that was Zeph Daniel, and I hope you enjoyed the program. It's a little different, but there's a lot of truth in this book, more truth than you'd like to admit. Well, right now, of course, we're going to have to say goodbye to our listeners up there in the Great Northwest, and we'll be back again tomorrow evening with another fascinating, fascinating program. Until then, let me ask you to pray for America and for our leaders, and pray for the men who are going to be over there, and for the Iraqis as well, and pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.